Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter number 19. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when he heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. I want to preach a question this morning for just a little while, this afternoon, God be our help. Did you receive the Holy Ghost? Did you receive the Holy Ghost? We have to wonder and we have to ask ourselves, they was talking about the disciples, and they said the disciples were followers of the way. Amen. That's the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray God, if we're not, we ought to be getting in the way. Now I know a lot of times in the world, people fuss at us for getting in the way. When you're a young kid, you're young, and praise God, your parents is constantly kind of fussing at you because you're getting in the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know when our young is little, they's always getting in the way. They want to be right in the middle of whatever you're doing. And that's not a bad thing. We ought to be getting in the way today, praise God, of the things that God wants to do for our hearts and homes and in our families. And we ought to be getting in the way, praise God, of what the Holy Spirit's doing. And we see Paul as he's a minister to him here, and we can get the scope of this thing. Paul's there, and he makes some journeys along, and he comes to Ephesus. Well, when he's at Ephesus, there's some folks with him. Now, two of these folks that with him was Aquila and Priscilla. Let me just say something to clarify this. There's a lot of people in the world today that try to specify who Aquila and Priscilla are. I've heard all kinds of different things and different peoples. I've even had people say that they were two sodomites that was living together and different things like that. But I want to say it could be no further from the truth. The Bible, if we'll read, it tells us who Aquila and Priscilla are. Amen. In Acts chapter 18, verse number 1, it said, "And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found certain Jew named Aquila, born on Patmos, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla." Amen. "Because of Claudius had commanded all Jews depart from Rome and came unto them." So we see what they place. Now, who is Aquila and Priscilla? As a husband and a wife, amen, glory to God. If anybody ever asks you, try to tell you any different, I say, man, you messed up in the head, you're crippled through offer crutches, you're a messed up as a termite in a yo-yo. It was a man and his wife, praise God, that loved the Lord and trying to do something for their Savior. Now the Bible says we know that Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. And Paul, the Bible says that Paul come down, he joined himself to them, and he joined the occupation that they had, and the occupation they had was tent makers. What was Paul, and he said, what was his occupation? He was a tent maker, amen, praise God. He made tents for a living. And so it come in pretty handy because everywhere he could go, praise the Lord, he was able to make tents. And I just give God the glory. Paul had the information from God that everywhere he could go, he could take his house with him. Amen. Praise God, he was never... Old Paul, praise God, was never homeless in this world because God allowed the man of God to be a tent maker. Praise the Lord. But we see Paul as he leaves out and he goes up, and Aquila and Priscilla go with him. And as they're traveling up, he gets to Ephesus. Paul drops these folks off, praise God, to minister there in Ephesus. He proceeds on up. He must go to Jerusalem. He goes up. He does his business. And as he comes back down to Ephesus. Amen. You say, well, what was Paul doing, praise God? The Bible said that he was strengthening all the disciples. That's what Paul was doing everywhere he went, praise God. What God put on his heart was to strengthen the disciples. Amen. praise God, to edify the church, to lift up the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to lift up God's people. Amen. How do we do that? How do you do that? How do I do that? By the precious Word of God. By the truth of the Word. A lot of people's looking for a lot of things in this world. You know what they need? What people need? They need the Word of God. They need the truth. Amen. They don't need no lies. They don't need to be patty cake. They need the truth of God that we can make an informed decision, that we can be ready, praise God, one day in a little while to go home to be with the Lord. We're just pilgrims passing through. Amen. We're somebody. But we've got a destination if you're a child of God. You've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. Praise God. And God's going to prepare. The Lord's going to prepare us a place. And He said, if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. Praise God. And they said, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? He said, I am the way. He said, I'm the truth. And said, I am the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. Praise God. So Jesus is the way. Amen. We have to wonder, praise God, but as Paul begins to ask, he comes back to Ephesians, to Ephesus, and he begins to talk to these folks, and he comes to in chapter 19, and somebody tells him, said, you know what, Paul, they some folks over here that love the Lord. Amen. Some disciples over here, certain disciples, not just any, but certain disciples. So Paul said, all right, I'll go check it out. Amen. I believe old Paul was always wanting to get in on the meeting. Hello? We live in a day and era people won't get, they want to get away from a meeting. Amen. You get you call a meeting, praise God, and they find out about it and they run the other way. Hello? Praise God, we ought to want to get in good old Holy Ghost meetings. Yeah. Amen. So Paul arrives at Ephesus, praise God, drops out of Aquila and Priscilla. He goes on up, he comes back down, and while he's there, I believe Aquila and Priscilla, they're establishing the church folks. They had been a while, so I believe maybe even Aquila and Priscilla had established a place of worship in their house. Amen. They was excited about the Lord. Amen. Praise God. They were so excited about it that they went to the synagogue and they heard Apollos preaching. And he was preaching, but he was missing the mark. Amen. He loved God. He was full of the Spirit. He was instructed in the way, the Bible says, of the Lord, verse 25, verse 8, chapter 18. And being fervent of the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now watch this. The plot thickens in this. Amen. Knowing only the baptism of John. Now what was the baptism of John? We know the baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. Amen. Praise God. And so these good folks, these good Christian folks that love the Lord, Aquila and Priscilla, and so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto themselves and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Amen. So Apollos was just full of God. He was full of vigor for the Lord. Praise God. He was just wanting to preach the gospel. Praise God. Just tell people about God, how He loved them, how we need to come to repentance. Amen. Bible says we must repent. Praise God. So when Paul comes, he finds this place, and Aquila and Priscilla, they've done, took Apollos to side. Praise God. They didn't embarrass him. They didn't beat him down. They took him aside and they say, listen, we know what you're doing. Boy, what a blessing you are. But, you need just a little bit more information. Amen. It's not about repentance, just about repentance. We gotta repent of our sins, because all sin comes short of the glory of God. But he said, praise God, we've got to go just a little past that, and we've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Praise God. So after Apollos got a hold of that, praise God, I mean, he was wide open then. There wasn't no hindrance. I guarantee the devil didn't like Apollos. Amen. So he's preaching the gospel. He's preaching the Word of God. And Paul comes there back to Ephesus, and he hears that there's some folks over there that love God, and and he goes over there to check them out. Amen? And he begins to diagnose them to see where they're at. I want to say today, praise God, we as Christians ought to, when we run into people, we ought to diagnose them, amen, to see where they're at. A little diagnostic test. Amen? Praise God, it don't take long to, praise God, to figure out whether they love the Lord or not. Hello? Amen, praise God. One or two questions, praise God, and they'll either fall in with you or fall out with you. Amen. Praise God, you know what I'm talking about. You get to talking about the Lord, you get to bragging about the Lord, praise God, and they'll either fall in with you or they'll fall out with you. Amen. They drop their head down and go to wandering off, mumbling, praise God. You probably figure, well, they need some help from the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of people like that in the world today. Hey, when they're all by themselves, they're down at church house, they may profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They may profess Christianity, but praise God, do they really have the goods? Amen. When they profess to be a child of God, they profess to have Christianity, have they received the Holy Ghost of God? What I'm trying to say is, have they got something in them that makes them a little peculiar? Have they got something in them, praise God, that makes them just a little bit different? So Paul he does a diagnostic test on them, and he asks them this question, verse number 2. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now some commentators want to turn this around and say, well, it needs to be worded different. It don't need to be worded different. He asked them just exactly what he wanted to ask them. He said, since you have believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? Amen. Since you believed, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they didn't know what he was talking about. Amen. I wonder how many folks today at sitting in front of them in the Bible-believing churches, praise God, if you ask them, since you believe, have you received the Holy Ghost? Is the Holy Spirit living in you? Have you received the Spirit of God? Hello? Amen? Listen to me, Dana. I'm going to hurry, but I won't take my time. I want us to get this. Because I think Brother Ralph Sexton Sr. said one time that 85% of the folks sitting in their fundamental Bible-believing churches are lost, and they'll go to hell. Amen? Because we've got a head knowledge of who Jesus is, but we don't have a heart knowledge. We've never received the Spirit of God that's moved into us to make us a peculiar people unto the Lord. Amen? Praise God. It makes all the difference. So Paul asked them this question, have you received the Holy Ghost? And now look what they said. He said, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Amen? Hello? He said, since you believed, become believers, have you received the Holy Ghost? They said, we haven't even heard that there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Amen? You know the sad part of what I'm telling you this afternoon? You could probably ask most supposed Christians today the same question, they'd probably give you the same answer. Amen? They've had an emotional stirring. They've made some sort of profession. They've come to a certain place, but they've never truly been born again, trusted in the blood of Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. God help us. Praise God. So he asked them this question. He said, ask them this question in verse number 3. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? Amen. He said, what were you baptized into? See, there's four steps to a Christian life, to becoming a Christian today. Amen. Let me just give them to you right. Number one is repentance. Amen. In order to be a child of God, we have to repent of our sins. Why is that? Because God tells us, Romans tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? I told Sophie a while ago that means that we've all broke God's heart and we've made Him sad. Every one of us. No exceptions. Amen? Praise God. So we have to repent of our sinfulness, the things we do that break God's heart and makes Him say, how do we know that? Because the volume of the book, the Word of God tells us the things that God's pleased with and the things that God don't like. Amen. Hey, praise God, it's as simple as black and white. It's simple as the Word of truth that speaks to our heart. Amen. That's the first step. Then the second step is a commitment to faith in Jesus Christ. Hello? A commitment to our to faith, putting our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in, to adhere to, and to trust in, and to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To become a child of God. That's the four. That's the second step, becoming a to having a Christian life. Number five is to be, or number three is to be baptized in His name. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, saying we're going to die out to the world and we're going to live for Christ. Amen? That's believer's baptism. See what Paul was getting to? And then the life, and praise God, is to the reception or receiving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we get saved, born again, praise God, and the Holy Spirit moves into our life and begins to direct us because we've committed our lives to Christ. Amen. I don't understand, praise God. We need to be careful that we make that commitment. So we see those four simple steps that we have. In Paul's discernment, he realized, praise God, that there was a defectiveness in the life step. There was a defectiveness in that life step. He said, how much, praise God? And so if there was a defectiveness in that life step, then how much of a defect was there in the rest of the process? Amen. There's a process to being saved. There's a process to being child of God. There's a process to loving Lord Jesus Christ. There's a process to going home to be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And one thing affects the other things. Now, it's so simple, the Bible says that a little child can do it, can attain to it. But we have to. So Paul backs up, and he asks him another question. He takes a step back. Praise God. And when he takes back and he asks him, he said, unto what then were ye baptized? And here's their answer. And they said, now he didn't put words in their mouth. He asked them, to what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Amen. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Amen. Praise God. The baptism that we've got to have, praise God, is a baptism of salvation. A baptism of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know what, Paul, through these two steps, through backing up two steps and asking questions, you know what he realized? That he was talking, he realized that the folk, praise God, that he was talking to were not Christians. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, they've said the right words and they've done the right things, seem to. Amen. In the eyes of the world, probably, God, they were running well. They probably told Paul, say, hey, you got to go down there. These 12 old boys down there, they love the Lord and they doing right, the things right. Amen. They was excited about the direction they was going. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ought to be excited about the way we're going, the direction we're going with the Lord. But we got to make sure that we're going in the right direction. That we're following the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. So Paul backs up and he begins to talk to him, begins to teach him and to administer to him in verse number 4. He said, then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. Amen. So Paul just backs up. He goes back down to the elementary level. He said, let me just enlighten you a little. In love, Paul begins to say, hey, listen, this is where you're at. But praise God, it's not enough. Amen. The baptism of repentance, it's good that you repented, that you realize you're an old sinner, praise God, deserving of hell. We all are. Amen. But the only way to escape that awful fate is through Jesus Christ the Lord. Making Him the Lord of your life. He said that you should believe on Him which should come after Him. Talking about John, the one that would come after John. That is on Christ Jesus. Amen. He said, so you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. The baptism that they had, praise God. It was a sub-Christian baptism. Amen. Get it? Sub, underwater. A sub-Christian baptism. Amen. It wasn't the real thing. Because they wasn't baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trying to be baptized out of their sin. Amen. It was a baptism of repentance. Amen. So Paul said there's got to be a, so Paul begins to break down. He begins, and Acts chapter 19, it breaks down, praise God, the experience of a normal Christian life. Becoming a child of the King for God's glory. Just reaching out, praise God, and getting a hold of our hearts. Helping us to realize where we're at. So that we can have the right experience. Amen. It's a different experience, praise God, from just confessing our sins. Amen. And that in itself makes you feel better. Amen. Hey, youngins, listen. Have you ever messed up, done something you ain't supposed to, and mama or daddy caught you? Not your head this way. Jeffrey Gosnell. Amen. We'll have an open altar in a minute. Amen. We've all done that. And when we get caught, when mom or daddy catches, praise God, and we finally realize that we've been caught. Now, when my kids was growing up, there's a couple things that they did that we questioned, and we didn't find out for 20 years what really happened. Amen. They conspired together, whispered together, and they, so it wouldn't come out on them, the real truth. But boy, didn't they feel better when we finally nailed them down? They finally just confessed their soul. Said, "Dad, Daddy, this is what happened. We're just going to tell you." Amen. And they began to just spill their guts about what really happened. And they felt so much better because they confessed it, because they finally got out from under that load. Amen. That didn't fix the situation. Amen, praise God, but it made them feel better. See, what they done, they got there and they confessed that they was just old sinners and needing something. But praise God, and it made them feel better. But praise God, it didn't take care of the situation. They was apt to do the same things again. Amen. You know, well, what would make the difference? Somebody to help us. You and I have to have someone to help us to keep us from sinning, to keep us on the right path, to lead us in a path of righteousness for His name's sake. So we've got to trust in His name. So Paul lays it out here for them. He begins to admonish them. He says, praise God, what you were to say for is just a repentance of your sins. But praise God, you need to come receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And so when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. See, before, Brother Jeff, they didn't have that identification with Christ. See, you can confess your sins, but till we get an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll never be changed. We'll never have the hope. We need never have the encouragement that we need. But when we have that identification with Christ Jesus as our Savior, amen, it makes all the difference. He said when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Amen. Now, when we see Paul laying his hands on there, did Paul have some kind of special power? No. But Paul was coming with authority from the church. He said, praise God, because you have believed, because you've repented, and because you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're baptized, praise God, into Christ. Amen. God began to move upon their hearts, and they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Let me just say, when you get truly born again, receiving the Holy Spirit of God is a concrete experience. Amen. It's something that's real. It's something that's substantial. It's something that's powerful. It's something that's staying, praise God. It's something that's established in you. See, why I'm thinking today, there's a whole lot of people that's lost without God. Amen, because they've never truly been established in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's never been established in them. Amen. Where there's an experience, concrete experience. In the Old Testament and New Testament, praise God, when the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, something always happens. Amen? I can't find anywhere in the Word of God where the Holy Spirit come upon somebody, come into somebody that they wasn't, that something didn't happen. Amen? It bothers me that people can come up and they can cry and they can make a profession and they can go back to their seat and there's never no change. Amen? If you've truly been born again, if you've truly received of the Spirit of God, praise God, there'll be a difference in you. Amen. Things will change around you. Your approach on life will be different because of the Spirit that lives in you. Now, let me just say this, and I'm speaking from experience. You might say, I've been there and done that. I was saved by the marvelous grace of God, and I know it as fact. I know the Holy Spirit of God moved into my heart and was there, now listen to me, was there to set up housekeeping. Hello? Now listen to me carefully, because I believe this is where a whole lot of the church is today. He's there to set up housekeeping, but our old rebellious spirit won't let him have the right of way. Our pernicious ways keep hindering him. He said, Lord, I know that I need to let the Spirit God, need to, Lord, come under. But Lord, there's just so many things. Huh? So many things, Lord, that just keep getting in the way. We have to get rid of those things and allow the Spirit of God into our hearts and into our lives. Romans says in chapter 8, verse number 1, said, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now specifies a active participation. Amen. An active participation, not of us, but of the Spirit of God in us. Amen. It's an active participation in us, in you and I. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. That old tyrant of sin is always trying to hold us up and hold us back. Amen. And the wages of death, praise God, if we ain't careful, we'll receive those. But they're not for us. He said, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now watch this. He said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. So he said, we've got to be filled. He said to be being filled with the Spirit. He said, not be drunk with wine, which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Talking about the Spirit of God. And God, we receive the Spirit of God when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. See, what was messed up with them, he said they was baptized with the baptism of repentance. They knew they were sinful. They knew they was wrong sometimes. But praise God, they didn't have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God that would help them to do right. That's why we struggled. That's why churches struggle. That's why church people struggle today. We've got to have the Spirit of God to help us do right. Lord knows I need Him more than all of you. Amen. I know how I am. Amen. I'm wired up and high strung. And I need help every day. How about you? Amen. We need to have God, the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He would go on in Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. He said, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. That means we got to let the Spirit of God have His way and His will in our lives. He said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. See, that's the difference. It's that indwelling Spirit of God that makes a difference in us. When we receive Jesus Christ, when we realize what He did on this cross of Calvary, how He died for our sins, that means He took our sin upon Him. They were hung on the cross with Jesus, praise God, and we commit ourselves to Him and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an old sorry sinner, and I thank You for dying for my sins. Amen. And we say, Lord, the light goes off. The illumination takes place. And you say, Jesus died for me so that I could be saved. Whoa, that means He's my Savior. Amen. He is my Savior. He's the one that saves my soul from an eternal hell and damnation. Praise God. He said, I've been made free. He said, but the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That means to make alive. You know, the Bible says now we're dead in our trespasses and sins. Amen. The whole world, everybody, most of the world around us is dead. Just dead men walking. Trespasses and sin. But He said, your mortal bodies. He shall quicken your mortal bodies to make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's what God, that's what God says He'd do. When we receive it. That's why Paul said you got to be, praise God, you got to be baptized in the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the baptism of repentance. Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. The daughters of God. The people of God. Those that are led of the Spirit of God. I wonder today what's leading us. Amen. We ask ourselves, well, which way are we going? And what's taking us there? Amen? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it this flesh that we live in? The flesh take you down into a pit. Amen? It'll take you down into a pit. So we have to ask ourselves, did you receive the Holy Ghost? You say, well, Pastor, I've been saved. Well, good. I hope you have. But did you receive the Holy Ghost? Amen. In other words, did you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could have the Holy Spirit to lead us in His path? I was thinking about it yesterday morning out there in the study. Wednesday night I preached on Enoch in Genesis chapter number 5. Verse 22, the Bible said that Enoch walked with God. Amen. That Enoch, now listen to me, that Enoch walked with God. And in verse 24 it says that Enoch walked with God and was not. Right? I'm in the book. That Enoch walked with God and was not. Why? For God took him. Amen. Why did God take Enoch? Because Enoch was walking with God. And I wonder today, church, amen, did you receive the Holy Ghost of God? Are you walking with God today? Are you an Enoch? Are we Enochs? Are we walking with God? So that one day, praise God, God say, just come on, just go home with me. I'm afraid for our churches and I'm afraid for our families and our people because they say they have a profession, but they haven't possessed, they're not walking with God. Amen. And I'm afraid one day God will just walk on off into heaven and they're going to be left behind. Amen. I'm afraid for people. But Jesus Christ, praise God, He come to die for our sins. So if we receive Him, we trust the Lord. Then we can walk with God. You can walk with God just as well. So one day, praise God, we can walk on off to glory into heaven. Amen. To be with the Lord Jesus Christ where He is. Praise God. Are you a follower in the way of Christ? Amen. Have you received the experience of the Holy Spirit? It's moved into your heart? When you had that, whatever you did? Amen. It didn't, the night I got saved in March 1976, the Holy Spirit, I mean, when I confessed my sin, I knew I was rotten. I was a mean little boy. I was just like Luke. Amen. I was rotten. Amen. I wasn't no mass murderer or killer. I was just mischievous. I got into a lot of things. Amen. But when Jesus came, I knew I was, I'm just like Luke, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. And I knew, praise God, I did. I couldn't figure it out, praise God, I figured it out that night. That Jesus loved me and He died for me, an old sinner. And if I'd come put my trust in Him, that He'd save me by His marvelous grace. And you know what? I wasn't nowhere near as bad after that. Now, I ain't ever been perfect, and I won't be this side of heaven. But praise God, I've got a perfect Savior that I've accepted, I've received, and the Holy Spirit lives in my heart. And He directs my path. You say, Pastor Jeff, what are you doing? I'm like a weenie. I'm a walking with God. Maybe I'm not as close as I'd like to sometimes. Hello? But I'm doing my best to walk with God. You know why we need to do that, young'uns? We need to do that because one of these days, praise God, He's going to walk off into glory and we need to know and we need somebody to lead us in the way. And His name is Jesus. One of these days He's going to enter into those gates in Psalms 24. They're going to open wide, praise God, and He's going to usher us in. We're going to go in with Him. Let me ask you a question. What if we're not walking with Him when He goes in? Amen. May look around one day and say, well, wait a minute, how do I get there? Where'd He go? Amen. Praise God, we need to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was telling those 12 fellas. See, they thought they had it made. They thought they'd figured it out. But he said, what kind of baptism have you had? And they said, a baptism of repentance. He said, no, you need a baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust and put your faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior. The receiving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine how them old fellas felt after after the Holy Spirit they believed? They said, wow, you know, we didn't get the Paul Harvey version. But this morning I'm giving you the rest of the story. Amen. Jesus loved you and He died for you. And when we believe that and we trust in that, amen. And praise God, we confess our sins, we trust Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God comes. Now, Paul, the Holy Spirit of God came through him because he had to throw the church's authority. He had to show them that the church's authority was there. Amen. They come under the spectrum of the organism of the church. Amen. And the Holy Spirit come down and begin to minister to them. And boy, they just begin to praise God and give God glory. They begin to praise the Lord. And of course, he says that they spake in tongues and prophesied. Now we know that tongues is there, not talking about mumble jumble, but it's about talking in different languages. So if there's somebody there that, you know, from, boy, we need that today. Amen. Praise God, I've never heard so many languages in all my life. You go to Walmart on Tuesday or Thursday night, and nobody in there speak English no more. Amen. I'm gonna get Nahum to go with me and walk around so I know what they're saying. He can cipher for me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. The languages, as many of them, praise God, because they knew what they said because they was prophesying. They'd given God glory. Now we need to be able to give God glory. But I just ask you today, I wonder today, did you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, Paul asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, when you made that profession, when you got saved? Amen. Did you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in your salvation? Praise the Lord.